Be'ez Hashem Yisbach, we begin Perek Shvi, the seventh and final chapter in the Ramah Sichas Tamatur, Laws of Learning Torah, in the Sefer Mad, the Book of Knowledge, which we finish up the halachas of the second half of Hilchos Tamatur, about respect that's necessary for those who learn and know the Torah. As Ramah discussed in this Perek regarding Nidu and Cherem, two different levels of excommunication, and as Ramah begins halacha off regarding the halacha of Nidu for a sage. So Chacham Zokin B'Chachma, where you have a sage, an elder in wisdom, V'chein Nasi, also the head of the Jewish people, or Yab Bezdin, or the head of the courts, which is second in command. Shasarach, where he soured, and that is, he sinned. In Nad Moise B'Fahesia, you don't excommunicate him in public, L'Olam, whatever the situation is, even if he has sinned many times. Elam Ken Asa Ki Rav Ben Nabat V'Chaberim, unless he did like Rav Ben Nabat and his colleagues, where he sinned and he caused others to sin, what's called Chayti U'Machti, then you do it out in the open. When he does other types of sins, which the punishment is not nidu, but rather malchus, then malchus, you give him lashes, but betzina discreetly. Shem like it says a pasuk in Hosea, "V'chashalta yom, you're going to stumble today, v'chashal gam navi im chaloyla, and your prophet's also going to stumble with you at nighttime." What does that mean? Ava b'shakashal, that even though he stumbles, kaseu kalayla, cover it over like nighttime. And they tell him, which this is going back to the halacha of nidu, when they excommunicate him discreetly, that they tell him the following phrasing of a pasuk. He covered pi heavy, v'sheba v'secha, and like, you know, and stay in your house. Like in a passive way, like say, basically we're excommunicating, we're just not saying it straight out. So to any type of a scholar that's liable to be excommunicated, asla besen likpoitz ulenat doise b'mehedet. It's forbidden for the courts to jump and to quickly excommunicate him. Ela borchem adav is that rather they run away from this, v'neshmatim, and they try to get out of it. When the pious ones of the sages, they would praise themselves. They were never counted from those two excommunicated Talmud Chacham. Even though they would be counted to give him lashes in the Schayb Malkas, they would be liable for lashes. Even for rabbinic lashes or rebellion, they would be counted to give him lashes, but not for that of excommunication. Now, Halacha Beis clarifies what's these two stages of Nidui and Cherem. So, how does excommunication work? So, I mean, they say, that person should be excommunicated. They're excommunicating into his face. I mean, they tell him, this person should be excommunicated. Which, as we'll see shortly, is more severe. I mean, they say, that person is excommunicated. And he's cursed, which means to say, boy, all on to him, there's a curse. Boy, in him, shuvu, there's an oath. Boy, nidu, in him, there's an excommunication. It has many things wrapped into that cherem. How do we undo when it's time to undo the nidu or the cherem? So they tell him, it is permitted for you, it is pardoned for you. Now, if they're permitting him not in front of his face, they say, plenty of that person, so then it's permitted for him, meaning it's undone, and he's pardoned. Now, what is the conduct that the excommunicated one should conduct himself, and that other people should conduct with him? So, first of all, menuda also, the excommunicated is forbidden lasaper, to cut his hair, ulchabis, and to launder, ka'aval, like a mourner. All the days of excommunication, he has that halacha like a mourner. You cannot make him part of a zeman of three people who bench together, the birchas amazon. You're not include him in the minyan, a quorum of men, for anything that needs a minyan. You cannot sit with him in his Dalai Lamas. Now, he could teach to others, and they could teach him. He could be hired out to work for others, and he could hire others to work for him. And he died in his state of excommunication. The courts, they send, they put like a stone on his coffin. In other words, they're like stoning him, because he was separated from the public. To say they don't eulogize him, and they don't escort, they don't do a levaya, they don't escort his coffin. More than that is the one who is put in cherem. He's not allowed to teach others. They can not teach him. But he can teach himself. That he shouldn't forget his learning. But the ain't nisker, he cannot be hired out by others. They cannot hire themselves out to him. They don't do business with him. They must ask him. They don't do any dealings with him. Only a little bit asik of business can they panasase the amount to provide for himself and for his family. Halachavav, misha yasha ben nidu shloshim yom. If someone was sitting in the state of excommunication for 30 days, v'lebikush latir, didn't ask for it to be undone, so benad moshe shniyah, then you excommunicate him a second time. If he said in the nidui another 30 days and he still didn't ask it for it to be undone, then machirim. I said then they put a machirim, which is a more severe ostracizing than that of nidui. Halacha zayin regarding the being materit. So bekama matim hanidui achirim. With how many do you need to permit the nidui or the chirim? So b'shleisha with three people, I feel like just even regular people. Now the yachid, an individual who's a mumcha, who's well-versed specifically in the halacha, mater hanidu echem levada, he could permit the nidu echem himself. Now b'yesh la-talmud, la-hatar hanidu echem, now a student is allowed to permit a nidu echem, v'afilu b'makom rav, even in place where the teacher is, which generally is not allowed to do certain things, that he's allowed to do. Halacha tes, shleisha shenidu, if three people excommunicated someone, v'hochalem, and they left. Now this person who was excommunicated because of them, he repented. So since they left already, so other three could come and they could go and undo the nidui for him. If someone doesn't know who excommunicated him, he should go to the nasi and he could undo his nidui. Nidui al tanai. Someone made a nidui based on a stipulation depending on the circumstances. Even based on himself, meaning if it was circumstantial, based on his, what he would do. Tzar Chafara still needs to nullify that nidui, even if the stipulation didn't come true that would cause the nidui, still cannot leave the nidui without a hafara. Tamachacham shenida atzmai, now Talmudic scholar who excommunicated himself, vafila nida atzmai al das plani, even if his excommunication on himself was based on someone else's consent, vafila al dovash chayvalab nidui, even for something that he actually was liable for nidui, but he's a mefil atzmai, the Tamachacham could nullify it himself. Someone was excommunicated in a dream that he had. Even if he knows in the dream who excommunicated him, he needs to have 10 people that learn halacha to permit him from his nidui. Now, if he doesn't find 10 people who are versed in halacha, he still has to put in the effort to go after them up until a distance of 4 mil. If he doesn't find, okay, the matim la'afil asar shoshan mishnah, then it could be permitted even by minna people that at least learned mishnah. Le'matz, if he didn't find that, matim la'asar shoshan likas batay, then it could even be permitted by 10 who know how to read chumash. Le'matz, he doesn't even find that, matim la'afil asar shoshan yoydim likas, then even just a regular minna people who don't even know how to read, they could permit it from him. Le'matz, let's say where he is, he doesn't even find 10 people, matim la'afil asar shoshan, that even 3 people could permit for him, could undo his nidui. Halach yid gimel. Mishnah du b'fanav. If someone that they were excommunicated in front of him, say, so then you only undo it in front of him, which could be because of suspicion or because of the honor of the one who was excommunicated. Be that as it may, it has to be in front of him. Let's say you excommunicate him when he was in absent. So then you could undo the nidu, whether in front of him or even not in front of him. Now, the imbein nidu lahafara klum, you don't have to have any time space between the putting him in chayim and the taking him out of chayim. Nothing. You could do the nidui and undo it a moment later. When the one who is excommunicated goes back to the good way, even if it's a moment later, you could undo it right away. Now, but if let's say the court saw fit that they want to put this person in nidui for many years, so then they could leave him like that according to his wickedness as the court sees fit. Now, what are those who are disgraceful towards the nidui? So too, if the court saw that initially to go right away and put the person in chayrim, even though generally there's a whole process, or even to excommunicate those who eat or drink with him, or to excommunicate whoever stands in his dalalamas, they could make such a chayrim to punish him, and to make a boundary for the Torah, until there's no breaches by the sinners who they're callous with the chayrim, they'll put them a chayrim too. Now the Ram continues regarding a nidui for the honor of the sage. Although there is permission for a sage to excommunicate for his own honor, in a shavach l'tamal chacham, it's not praiseworthy for a Talmud scholar lahanik asma b'dabazet to conduct himself like this. Rather, he just turns away his ears from the words of the ignorant person, and he doesn't pay any attention to it. Like Shlomo said in his wisdom, that also for all the words that they speak, don't put your heart to it, don't focus on it, don't pay attention. That was the way of the earlier pious ones. They would hear their disgrace, they wouldn't respond. Not only that, they actually pardon the one who's who's disgraceful. And actually, they forgive him. And actually, the great sages, they would pride themselves on their appropriate actions. But they would say that they never excommunicated anyone, and they never put someone in, to ostracize them for their honor. And this is the path that the Talmudic scholar should go, but that's appropriate to go in. Now, the midrum, when we say that he could just ignore it and just pardon the person, is if he was disgraced or embarrassed in private. But if you have a Talmudic chacham that was disgraced or spoken disparagingly in public, it's forbidden for him to pardon his honor. If he does pardon, then he gets punished. It's a disgrace for the Torah, who he represents. Rather, he has to take revenge and hold a grudge like a snake until the person asks from him to be pardoned, and then he forgives him.